In the first of the talks about the Druid Gruntius, we looked at part one of Cardinal Newman's poem, which was put to music for soloists and choir and orchestra by Elgar. And we looked at how, before he died, Gruntius, with support from the parish priest and the people round the bed, went through the stages of panic and then peace to push, shall we say, to his eternal life, the greatest growing pain or labour pain that we'll ever face. St. Paul said that the whole of creation is one great act of giving birth. When we come to part two, we find that the music has no rhythm to start with. As Gerontia sings, I hear no more the busy beat of time. And he's gone to sleep, and now he feels refreshed and feels he's being held somehow and being lifted and carried somewhere else. And he meets his guardian angel. The doctrine about guardian angels is such a beautiful thing, that God has individual care for all of us. And this angel, first of all, does what all angels do. He greets Gerontius, all hail. Remember the angel at the Annunciation, the first thing the angel did was to greet the lady. And our Lord said, when you visit anyone, greet the house you're visiting. Because I've never seen an angel, and I don't expect to see one in this life, but every human being is a messenger sent by God, as far as I'm concerned. They all have little labels round their neck with love from God. And what we're going to be like our Lord, we greet people. He used to say, peace, shalom, salam, be with you, salam ekum. And the second thing the messenger at the Annunciation did was to compliment the lady. You see, many people in this life are under-greeted, and they're under-complimented. It's a miracle, actually. If you greet someone, you're treating someone as someone. And they grow 6 inches, because they feel they are someone. Costs nothing. And when you compliment a person, they put on weight, because we take each other for granted. The third thing the messenger said to Our Lady was, do not be afraid. Well, we have lots of fears. We're afraid of authority figures, afraid of the nature, we're afraid of paying our bills, and our Lord gave us that commandment, do not be afraid. Now, one motive for not being afraid is, may I suggest, look at the Madonna and Child. Don't talk to it, just let it speak to you. What God is there in the world that comes to us without teeth in his gums, in his nativity? He couldn't bite you if he tried. His fingernails aren't even long enough to scratch you. Who has a God who comes to us in need of a bottle, in need of nappy change, utterly vulnerable, dependent? Who could be afraid of a God like that? Or just sit and look at the cross. Don't talk to it. Let it speak to you. What religion has a God who comes to us without any power? Dead? He's the hurt one. And even the risen Christ said to Thomas, look, I'm the wounded one round here. Put your hand in my side if you really need to be impressed. I couldn't hurt a flea. There's a wonderful motive for not being afraid. So the angel with Gerontius first of all greets him. And Gerontius starts saying, well, I thought at the moment of death, I saw my dearest master. And the angel said, my child, you know not what you ask. The sight of the Most High will gladden thee, but it will pierce thee through. Oh, Well, they have a little chat, and then they pass hell, where there's a load of rhubarb going on and nonsense noises, ha ha ha, mocking. Then they pass by hell, and they start coming near the gates of heaven. And they can hear the angels singing there, praise to the holiest in the height, the second hymn of Newman that originated in this poem, The Dream of Joannesis. Most wonderful hymn, the praise to the holiest in the height. And then they come to judgment. Now, I was taught as a child that when I reach heaven, I'll say, where's the dock? Where's the dock? Guilty, 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 guilty. Put me in a dock. And I was taught that God, the Father, more or less had a secretary who used to bring out the book, Liber Scriptus Proferator, Jim's record. And God would say to Charlie, his secretary, Jim Brand, born 8th of June 1935, reached the age of use of reason 8th of June 1942. Start there, Charlie. Charlie would look up, think, oh, I say, three unkind thoughts before midday. Four rude thoughts, gosh, he was precocious. Stole a few sweets from his neighbour. Right. 1950 was a holy year, general discount. Everyone gets let off everything. He became a priest, so everything's much worse, any sins he commits, so. And then he said certain prayers after Mass and plenary indulgence. Take that off, Charlie. Put it in the computer, Charlie. What's the result? And God would look at the piece of paper and say, I'm terribly sorry. I know I'm merciful, but I'm just too. That means 4,000 days in purgatory at 2,000 degrees centigrade. Next! And that was the way I thought the judgment was to take place. But Cardinal Newman has the most amazing idea. You're going to hear judgment music, which is terrifically ferocious, ending with a clash of the cymbals that goes through me like an arrow. And the first to speak isn't God who says, take him away. It's Gerontius who shouts, take me away. I can't handle this. It's too rich. And there in the lowest deep, there let me be. And there in hope the lone night watches keep told out for me. Motionless and happy in my pain, lone, not forlorn. There will I sing my sad perpetual strain until the morn. There will I sing my absent Lord and love, take me away, that sooner I may rise and go above, and see him in the truth of everlasting day. And in my next talk, I'll explain Cardinal Newman's beautiful idea of purgatory, which he sees not as a punishment block, but as a health farm, where there are physiotherapist angels who help us to bring on, as if we had pins and needles, our lazy, loving muscles, so that we can handle God's love. Amen.